This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome everybody. It's awesome to see a lot of new faces here as well and some old faces who've been here. I've had a privilege of hosting and having my good friend Gustav here, who was part of our church for more than 5 years probably, and it's just awesome to have him back here. He's in Cape Town still. But also, that's not the only face that's here who was here for a long time. We've got the privilege of having Pastor Karel Holtz from Swakopmund and the whole family. I just saw a little Ulrika's hair again. If you really want the funkiest haircut in town, ask Maritza if she can sort you out before we go back. No, it's awesome to have you guys here. Karel was the pastor in Windhoek for 7 years, I think. Let's say, give or take, 7 years, and let's just say he was commissioned. I don't know what the correct word is, but he is currently pastoring with Jaco in Swakopmund. But we have the privilege this morning, yeah, to welcome him to our house again. Put your hands together.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. I think I'd rather say I was blessed, and then God sent me to the coast. So, yeah, greetings from the coast, Shofar Swakopmund and Wolfish Bay, the saints there, the church there. Yeah, they send their greetings, and yeah, it's wonderful to be here, Paul. I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I feel like I've got that feeling like when you, some of you might not know it yet, but you know, like before you get married, you're like excited, but you're kind of nervous. I don't know what it is. I think I'm just so excited to be here with you guys this morning. And yeah, Paul, it's amazing how time flies. And it was in a few months' time, it's about 10 years ago, that I preached my first sermon here in Windhoek, Shofar Windhoek, there at the old Bahnhofstrasse. And it's so wonderful to see you. I have to give me a moment to be a bit sentimental and nostalgic and the chairs and the stuff. You know, I guess a pastor, I love the sheep, but also some of the things are so familiar, you know. And Reinald and Udia, when I walk in here, you know, they were guys that were here before us. You know, they are the foundation. They are really something that God has been building upon. And then also, Michael Shivala, Dad Michael, eh? You know, I remember that day in Stellenbosch when we baptized you. Still a young man, and Michael, you still look the same, eh? Some of us get older and some of us get bigger. Michael, you still look the same. Maggie, you did well, okay? So, it's really wonderful to be here with you guys. I really want to commend you for standing strong in this season and really going forward, and just like to pray with you this morning to see that the church is healthy and, you know, what God is doing here. I just love it to be here with you guys. So, before I cry or something weird, let us pray. Father God, Lord, we just want to be quiet here in this place, Lord, and just exalt your name, Lord, and say that you are the Alpha and Omega, Lord God, the beginning and the end, Lord. And yes, Lord, we can read it in English and do all our homework and background studies, but Lord, will we ever be able on this side of eternity to see and to know how big you are? You are the first and the last. You are the creator. Yes, Lord, and the way that your church are growing and that, Lord Jesus, you are transforming people's lives, Lord. We just know, Jesus, that you are in this place, that you're in this city and that you are doing your work. And yes, Lord, and I just pray that you'll bless this church, Lord, and every disciple that is being made here. Pray for every leader in this house, Lord. And yes, Lord, we just want to see your kingdom come and your will be done, and just want to be obedient to you this morning, Lord. What a privilege it is to worship here this morning, to stand and just lift our hands and say that you are creator, but you are also our Father, that you are also the shepherd, the chief shepherd, Lord. And whatever is on our hearts and our minds in this busy world, Lord, that we can always come to you any moment, every day, any day of the week. We can just come with our hearts and our burdens, what's happening in our lives, our families. We just can bring it before you, Lord. Ask for grace. Ask for blessing, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing in the lives of disciples. How you are taking us from one degree of glory to another, transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, this morning where we're going to talk about the heart of a pastor, the pastoral ministry, Lord, is Father, I pray that you will help us in this process of sanctification, that each and every one of us will not just have it, but grow in having a heart for the flock, a heart for people, to love and to care and to nurture, Lord. And Lord, I'm just looking at all the young children walking around or babies. Yes, Lord, it's the heart of every parent to care for the young. Lord, we even see it in nature. Yes, Lord, that heart will just grow and grow inside of us to care for your flock. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good. So we've been preaching a sermon series in Swakopmund. We spoke about where is the love. We spoke about love is to care and love is to share. Love is to go. And I think you've preached, I listened to the guys this morning, you've preached three of the five topics. So I'm going to look a little bit about love is to care this morning. And then I think Reinald will finish or end the whole series with, I think the love is to go, proclaiming the good news. Reinald says, yes, we're still in sync. That is a very good thing. So I'm going to be very honest with you, you know, church. I've got a heart for the sheep. I've got a heart for looking after people. You know why? I was born a sinner. I wasn't born a pastor. I was born someone, scholar as you, not you, look alike. So, you know, I grew up, I had Bible, went to church, but I didn't have the living relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that on a Thursday afternoon where there were no worship team, no offering going around, no nothing, that the message of the good news, that the heart of the good news reached my heart. That a young Christian shared his testimony, a good classmate of mine, and that I made that decision to say yes, bow my knee and to say, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come, I repent, I know I'm a sinner in need of a savior. But you know what? That was that time that I was the follow-up. I was the guy in the little paper that says, invite this guy to a small group. And I know that good old friend, Kobus du Plessis, that was in my class, who shared the gospel with me, good old Kobus, we spoke a while ago, and look back at that day, way back in 2002, when we were both still students there at Stellenbosch, and he said he's got something on his heart that he wants to share with me. And that Thursday afternoon we prayed, I remember it so vividly, so special, many years ago, and to see the work that God is doing in our lives. But as I said, at that time I was the follow-up. And I remember one of the small group facilitators, he's one of our senior leaders today, Jan Cor Brink, I remember he phoned me and said, do you want to come to our men's small group? And I said, no. Every one of us that I believe comes from a good, healthy family where you had a father and a mother that maybe even that disciplined you but cared for you will have that heart to look after the young, to look after the vulnerable. And you know, I just want to say, I think it became one of my favorite 500 scriptures in Romans chapter 1 where Paul says in verse 15, he says, I am so eager to come to you, church in Rome, to preach the gospel, because it's the power of God for everyone who believes to come to Jesus Christ. And that power we still see. We still see the transformation in people's lives. And that is why I know Jesus Christ is with us. We see how we grow and how God changes us through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, the important thing that I just want to share about is I believe in our natural person, in our natural ability, you know, how good can a non-Christian be? It's a touchy subject, you know. We live in this place where we need to be politically correct and we have to be very careful about what we say these days in many ways. But I want to go with what the gospel says. I want to go with what the truth. And, you know, you get people that seems to be good people, but there's a huge difference in my heart and in scripture between good people and born-again Christians. That is what the words say. I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3-4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see. Where's the slides? They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You should go home and read that from a few translations. Okay? A while ago, I was sitting with the older man, Dieter den Swakopmund, with one of the many, many coffee shops. All the people who's jealous, raise your hands, we'll pray for you. Swakop has got all the wonderful coffee shops, eh? So we were sitting there, me and Dieter, Stefan, we'll pray for you afterwards. And we were talking and he was just telling a little bit about his testimony and, you know, how he only at an older age came to Christ, became a member of the church. And he said his wife, who was a believer, she and many other women, they were praying for him. And then eventually Dieter gave his life to the Lord and he said to him, what took you so long? Why didn't you share this gospel with me earlier? And they're like, man, we were praying for you for 20 years. Your heart was just blind. You know, this veil that Paul talks about, you were just blinded. You didn't see this light. You had no understanding. One much closer to home, I married my precious wife many, many moons ago. And I love their family. I love my family on my wife's side. But, you know, we were not completely on par regarding biblical things, okay? And last year, I think about August, my brother-in-law, he phoned me and with a heavy heart. And there were really big, big trouble in their marriage. And I was able to, through that week, to talk them through many things. And it was hard. But the beauty was, I can't remember if it was September or last year, when was it? And then he and my wife's sister, both of them radically came to Christ, gave their hearts to the Lord. And you know, we all live in this age of WhatsApp groups and those things. Now, I just want to say to Jessica some days, please, not 5 or 10 pieces of scripture per day. You are so radical and you weren't like that, okay? And now we're having this conversation, almost laughing and saying, but now you are flooding us with the word. And she's so, but it's alive. I've changed. So she's so excited about this veils. And now we're having these conversations about Jessica and Rian. And they say, but now we understand. Now we know why you guys were excited all the days. Why even in holidays you went to church, etc. Why? Because those veils were removed. This message of Jesus Christ now makes sense to them. We were always the Christians, the weird people, the guys who don't drink till the bottle is empty or don't party till 1 o'clock or don't see, you know, whatever. But now their eyes were opened. And church, that's the precious thing. That is what I love about the good news. That is what I love about the gospel. You know, there was a time, I remember one of my friends always invited me to church, and I said to him, why are you inviting me? I've got a church. But he knew I haven't responded to the good news. You have to bring me water, okay? You don't understand. At the coast, it's different. We don't have to drink water while we preach. Yeah, I have to drink a bit of water. It's hot, dry country, as they say. I will really appreciate that, guys. But you see, this message, it says that the God of the world, there's veils before people's hearts. Now, that is what I want to ask the question. I said, we're talking in the context of where is the love? And this morning, we're talking about love is to care. How much can we just in our carnal man care? I will tell you, and our scripture tells us that when we come to Christ, you know, there's a big change. There's a big shift. And I want to read you from Ezekiel, beautiful, beautiful scripture, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Just listen to what he prophesied, what will happen in the days after Jesus Christ came to the world. He said, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. We can't love the church or the world when we still have a heart of stone, can we? We can try, and maybe caring and nurturing comes a bit more natural to some of us than to others. Some of us are just natural, walk and pick up babies and cuddle them, and some of us are not like that. Some of us are not naturally like that. Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate that. I'm going to use it. That's okay. So the thing is, yeah, Ezekiel said, I will take this heart of stone from you and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart that has got this new ability to love and to care. That old heart, yes, we love our parents and we love each other in a human way. But who can say amen that when we come to Christ and we are born again, we get a new level or a new capacity to love? Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I want to read to you. It says, Paul writing there, and he says, so all of us who have had the veil removed, same Paul writing there, let me start from the beginning again. He said, so all of us who have had this veil removed can see and reflect, not only see, can see and reflect the glory of our Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And Paul, this super Pharisee, persecuting the church, really putting the Christians in chains, really hating the church, overseeing the first martyr in the Christian church, basically. This Paul had this radical transformation there on the Damascus Road. Paul took that really hard. If you want to see a heart of stone, it must have been Paul's. Go and read to his later in his life what he says about himself. Okay, he must have had really a hard heart. Okay, and God comes and He gives him a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart of love. And here Paul is writing and he says how Jesus Christ, how the gospel, how the Holy Spirit are transforming us. That is why we can see in Galatians chapter 5 how our lives are cultivating the fruits of the Spirit. How we can see love and peace and joy and kindness when the Holy Spirit starts to work in our lives. But here Paul says we are transformed into the same image from one degree to another. Now there's something important that I want you to see. That word image, where it says transformed into the same image, we become more like Jesus Christ. Every one of us who has met the Lord, who has been baptized, who has become a new person, will be able to say, yo, I just look at that old man and I'm new. I've changed. God has made me new. That word image is the word icon. It's the Greek word icon. And that word, you know, we all know it from our cultural place of technology where we click on an icon and what? Windows open. That word icon, if you translate it, it means window. It's a big truth here. It means window. It means to look through or look into something. So what is this about? There's the old man with the heart of stone. Jesus come and when in salvation, we've got this core disposition. Jesus changed our hearts. He regenerates us. He saves us. He changes us. He put a new heart in us. And then what? If the world or the church or anyone look through this icon, look through this window, what do you see? It's something we should ask ourselves this morning. What do you see? I believe we should see God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's hand in this window, through this window. Because who of you grow from one degree of glory to another in your own strength? It's impossible. It's really impossible. It's the Spirit that does that work in our hearts. It's the Spirit that does that work. And that is why it's so important and so powerful when we can testify and say, That is what my life used to be like. That is what I used to look like. But now, as he writes here, he says, we are transformed into this image, this window that people can look into. And that is so important to me as a leader, or as a Christian, that it's, that this city, this nation, this town, when they look into this window of your heart, of your faith, that they will see the glory of God, that they will see the work that Jesus Christ has been doing in our lives. He doesn't say we have to be perfect. We will have our issues and our weaknesses. None of us are this side of eternity perfect. But to see the grace of God through this window is precious. And every time, every moment that we see it in a church or the church, we know that the Lord Jesus is here, that he's doing this work of transformation. I just love that. I believe there's a few dangers, of course, but two that I notice in my own life when I read Scripture or we read Scripture, that we should be careful not to make that mistake. And the one is that we read Scripture and we go so fast or quickly through it because we're in a hurry that we don't properly see the depth of what it means. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I just sat and had a look at the book of Revelation, and where God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And you can read it in Afrikaans, English, Greek, any other language, or Shivambu, no matter what. And you can use all your resources, your commentaries, your exegetical commentaries, everything that you have or that you can find. But I believe none of us can completely get our hands, can have handles on what it says when God says, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and Omega. Sometimes we can look up at the heavens and the stars and the galaxies, and we can look at the speed of light and all these things that just our minds switch out or kick out, or what do you want to call it? It's too big for us. Okay? We serve a mighty, mighty, big God. And I want to encourage you to stand still when you read Scripture and make sure to say, God, when you say you are the Alpha and the Omega, what do you mean? And you will only be in a part of it, will be able to see how big God is. I mean, the other danger is that we literally ran or paced through Scripture, and that we don't measure ourselves or our lives against the Word. You can ask your husband or your wife. That's a good place for honesty. Look through the window. What do we see? Many times we see bad things, stuff that shouldn't be there. Then we need to go back to God and say, God, you still need to change my heart. I still need to repent, or whatever the case might be. But there's also, as I said, the second one, the danger that we read through Scripture and that we don't register that we should actually see if our lives are in line with what it says. Now, here is a good benchmark. I'm sure all of you know it, but I want to read it to us. We're talking about love this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. Very familiar scripture. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. That is a benchmark. That is something we can measure our lives against. And then here Paul goes on from verse 4, and he explains practically what love looks like. Very good verse to use in counseling, you know, to see if we have these qualities in our lives, especially marriage counseling. What does love look like? He says love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. there's something where we as disciples, we as the church, can go and measure ourselves against. And the jock, you can't have this conversation with your wife now. Okay, you can't accuse my friend. That's all smiles. Okay, but this is a good thing, because what happens many times, especially in married life, now you are like this, yeah, you are like that. Now you should become like this, now you should become like that. Okay, but the healthy place of a marriage is where we say, God, I love the way my wife is. There's a Bible and I see it's black and she sees it's blue. It's okay. You know, we can grow in understanding each other. But if there's the common factor of love, it makes it so much easier, don't you say? If we have a fight, how many times we have a fight about this chair? Is it, should it stand like this? Should it stand like that? Or a painting, or a this, or a that, and we've got different characters, different temperaments, okay? And that is why we want to handle things in life differently, amen? But if we've got love that bears all things and hope for all things, it makes it so much different. And it's so, I believe this is one of those scriptures when we peek through this window of the church, this window of a Christian believer's life, that we should see this love. Practically, that it should be there. So, you know, there's so many beautiful background, or beautiful pictures, and I mean, you can really go and look at them. I will maybe just quickly, I want to go on and just talk a little bit about the heart of the shepherd. You know, a shepherd's heart, or a father's heart, and those of you who are parents in the house, you will be able to understand how important it is to it comes naturally to care for your children. You know, I see some of you with your small babies, and I think back 10 years ago when Gustav and Olwen were about 8 months old and we immigrated from South Africa, came to Namibia, had to pastor the church. Hey, man, the twins were just a handful in many ways. But I remember those nights at 3 or 4 when you have to wake up. And it's not like someone gave me a job description and say, that's what the father does. When that baby cry, you do it. Why? Because love. You love that person. And you know, that's something that's so important to the whole of the church. God appoints people in the fivefold ministry. He appoints leaders and shepherds, etc. But as Christians grow, you know, as Christians grow and mature, we delegate that authority to leaders in the church to help to make disciples, to help to care for the flock. There's no way if a church becomes 200, 250, 300 people that one pastor can have a coffee or something with the whole church. We should look after each other, okay? We should have that heart. And you know, one of the keys or one of the things I believe we can grow in is, you know, when it suits me, I love to look after the twins, you know, when they were babies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, that's fun, okay? But at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock at night, you know, that takes a lot more. And sometimes, or many times, you know, we want to shepherd or pastor when it's convenient to us, when it fits into our schedule. But you know, sometimes there's needs right now. So just hear it in the context. I'm not saying you should quit your job 10 o'clock at morning and just go and pastor someone. But it's a place where we should just be able to count the cost and say, yes, Lord, I am willing. I am willing to walk that extra mile in terms of looking after someone. Beautiful scripture here in Jeremiah 23 verse 4. Basically prophetically speaking, and it says, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Okay, just speaking prophetically about the time of the church, dispensation of the church, where there will be shepherds, people gifted with shepherds' hearts, okay, to care and to look after the flock. We see in Isaiah 40 verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd, speaking of Jesus. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Obviously, Psalm 23, we all know it's quite well there where David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I wanna hold it before you. And if you may be a young Christian, church, it's so important to know that there's shepherds appointed in the church, but that Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. That you can take your heart, your feelings, your dreams, your fears, that we can take it to our Father.
Scripture portrays God as a father figure as well. Okay? And we've got an opportunity, no matter where you drive, where you work or live, that any time of the day, that you can take your heart to the Father and say, God, I'm afraid now. God, I'm in need. God, I've got a challenge. He's a father. Okay? That is what Scripture tells us. So, I also want to encourage you to go at home to go and read the whole of John chapter 10 from verse 1 to 18. There's so much truth. There's so much for us. I'm just going to look at one or two verses from that whole passage. But please go and read it at home, the whole part. I believe and trust that the Lord will also speak to you. I just want to read from verse 10, the well-known part. It says, "The thief came only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus says that he is the standard for the good shepherd. His life is the life that shows us about being a shepherd, caring for the flock. And then he says the chief shepherd, or Jesus as the shepherd, he lays down his life for the flock. He doesn't keep back. He lays down his life. Now, I believe it's important that we just see that part in context. And I just want to help, you know, show you both. Then in verse 12, it goes on and it says, "You is a hired hand and not a shepherd. You does not own the sheep. Sees the wolf, comes and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the shepherd, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." So basically, he's talking there about the chief shepherd, the typical David figure. When the wolf came, he didn't just run away, okay? Jesus said, the shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. And the hireling on the other side, you know, if you go and research a little bit about the Old Testament, it says that the hireling wasn't responsible if some of the sheep were lost. Later, some of the rabbis, apparently they changed it and they said, if there's one wolf who attacked the flock and the hireling was overseeing the flock, if one wolf came and he attacked the flock, the hireling should try and drive away or protect the sheep. But if it were two or more wolves that came to attack the flock, the hireling could run. Okay? Because then his life was in danger. But if it's your sheep, if it's your children, if you are the chief shepherd, you just don't run away. You don't just leave your sheep. You know, church, on a very serious note, my heart bleeds when I read the Facebook pages or in the newspapers, and I see these days so often, especially in South Africa, when I see father shot and killed before his wife and children, trying to protect, trying to care for what is his. You know, if you are the shepherd, you don't just run away, you care for what belongs to you. I see many times you will read somewhere in a hijacking or something that a mother, a small little woman becomes that big, you know, when there's the possibility that the thief will steal her children with hijacking or something. There's something in our hearts. We live in Namibia, we can look at nature. A lot of nature. You don't walk to Mama Olifant with the coffee there and just go and pat that little one. You're going to die, okay? If you go to Itoshapana, and there's the mom with the cubs, and you say, "Ach, Mama Lou, just give me a moment here. The small ones are so cute. Can I just pat them?" No, my friend, we're going to read in the newspapers about you. There's something even in the animal kingdom that cares for the young, that cares for the weak, that cares for the vulnerable. Okay? David didn't just run away when the wolf came. And it's so important. I believe we've got this heart. Maybe I should ask some of you, if someone comes and they want to hurt your children, Philip, what do you do? I don't know. Philip just smiles. Okay, maybe people don't do that to you. The point is, if it's yours, it makes all the difference. I've got that. Now you have to be with me this year. This morning, me and a good friend of mine, we went hunting a year or two ago in the Kommers Hoogland. And long story short, Now I'm the owner of a beautiful zebra skin. I always wanted one of those. But I know that thing is dead. It doesn't grow anymore. So it's very precious to me. Now we had a few family fights because it's there in my office and I just feel you don't, it's not a mat. It's more a trophy to me. You don't walk over it. You walk around it. But some of my family members and extended family, they don't understand. So now we're having this fight or this conversation, and they say to me, you know how tough this thing, they live in the field, and they fight, and they bite each other, and everything. And then I say, yes, I know, but then it's still alive. You know, like when my skin gets scratched, it grows back. This thing is dead, it doesn't grow back. Okay, so we have a few fights. So if some of my precious family comes to visit, I remove the zebra skin. I take it to a safe place where people won't walk over it. I want it to last for a lifetime. It's mine. I worked for it in many ways. But church, that zebra skin is nothing compared to the flock. Jesus Christ paid a price. He paid a price on the cross for every believer, for every saint. His blood is the blood that flow, okay? And that's the blood that changed our hearts. Okay, you don't just get a heart, your heart of stone just doesn't get removed and you get a heart of flesh. It only happens at salvation. Whatever is precious in your life, your zebra skin, your couch, your car, your camp trailer or anything, you know, whatever is precious to you, it doesn't really compare to things that are eternal. Believers. To take care of the church is something eternal. People matter. Whether they are inside of the church or outside, it doesn't matter. Jesus even speaks here and he says, he's got other sheep that also need to come into the flock. How precious is someone that Jesus died for on the cross? Can we afford to not care for them? Can we afford to not look after them? We've got massive issues in this world and in this nation regarding caring and loving and shepherding. There's Stephen Lungu, two weeks time, I think till he from the age of 8, I don't want to tell his whole story, he grew up under a bridge. He lived there and he became a hard man with a heart of stone. He will tell you that. God changed him. He made him into this amazing preacher, this amazing man of God. That he is today. Church, we cannot neglect to even to look after each other in the church. Jesus bought us with a price. I want to start to end off here. I want to share just lastly or second lastly, I want to talk about Matthew 18 verse 12 to 14. Now just make sure when you go and read that scripture, there's a similar part, I think it's in Luke chapter 15, where there's also 100 sheep and one get lost, but that refers to an unbeliever coming into the flock of Christ. Here Jesus is, in this context, he's speaking about a believer going astray and that he wants to bring back. Let us read there from verse 12. Matthew 18 verse 12 to 14. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for that is lost? And if he find it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it and more than... He will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that did not wander away. And in the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Okay? Jesus talking in the context of the sheep that knows his voice, the sheep that hears his voice, his sheep, the sheep of his flock. So what do we see in the scripture? Can sheep wander away? Can they get lost? I need to talk to those of you who are saved 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years. Reinhold, do sheep tend to wander away sometimes? I remember in the 6.5 years we were here that we have to, from a pastor's heart, go and look for sheep. Find them at weird places. And say, come back, come back. Because God the Father rejoices when any of the sheep come back. This is important to see. He says, this heart of the shepherd, this heart of the chief, because we have to ask ourselves, why is this in Scripture? Why did Jesus tell this parable? What importance does it have for you and for me? What's the point? It's one of those things about biblical interpretation that, or hermeneutics, we need to ask ourselves always, what is the point? What does Scripture want to tell me here? And what does it tell us here? God the Father doesn't want any of his sheep, that is part of his flock, to wander away and to get lost, because he knows that there's wolves. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, the devil is walking around like a roaring lion. And many of us will be able to testify in our year or 5 or 10 or 20, walk with the Lord, that there has been dry times sometimes. That there have been times that we were tempted by sin, that we were tempted by stuff, and that there was the possibility for our hearts to find idols, to find things of this world that looks promising to us. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. That's not important. But we know, I know, there were times that the Bible gathered a little bit of dust, and my mind and my head was at the other place. And then I'm so thankful over the years for friends or brothers in Christ that could say, my friend, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Can we have a coffee? Are you still diligently doing what Jesus called you to do? That is love. That is caring. You know, we need to do it with our children. I'll share a bit from my own. This morning before church, the three children, they are there and making ready for church. And I see, hey, here with the one, there's a problem. There's the one, he's sitting there. And I said, my boy, did you forget your shirt that you need to wear to church? Okay, yeah, Dad, I forgot it at home. Because we need to prepare. We need to, when we come to church, you know, we dress in a special way. Okay, just no, we're not religious about stuff. Praise God, I didn't have to preach with a jacket and a tie and those type of things. Okay? But it's a heart of a father that says, hearts of a mother says, are your teeth brushed and your hair combed and your ears clean and everything's in place? That's what we do. Discipline, or sometimes, go and read Hebrews chapter 12. It's discipline is part of the church where we sometimes need to look each other in the eyes and say, but is everything still okay? Because God will hold the shepherds accountable for the flock. And that's an important thing. Okay? We can't just say in the church, it doesn't matter to me. Good stuff, I'm going to pick on you this morning. It's so good to see you here this morning. And to know you still come to church. It's so nice to see a good friend or a believer, and there's a smile on their face, and to hear them pray or to say, God is talking to me about this or about that, and to see and to hear, but they are still hearing the chief shepherd's voice. How precious is that? It's so important for all of the church. Here in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. Sheep can go astray, I promise you. We don't want them, but if a sheep goes astray, even just a little bit, it's so important that the church collectively have a heart to say, I'm going to leave these just here for a moment, and I'm going to fetch that one. I'm going to carry that one. I'm going to put it over my shoulders, and I'm going to see if there's something wrong. I'm going to get it a bit of antibiotica or a bit of water or a bandage or something. I'm going to walk with that one and to see that little sheep restored. That's the heart of parenting. That's the heart of raising children. Okay, we don't just give our children porridge in the morning and then we leave them, and a week later we see if they're okay. At least that's not how we're supposed to do it. We look after them. We discipline them. We love them. We coach them. We raise them. We teach them. Okay? That they can go further in life than we do. That God can do big things through their lives. But church, there's something that I have to be honest about. You need to go and count the cost. You don't just go to bed one night and then in your sleep God makes you a holy and a leader and an awesome disciple. There's a cost involved. We should count the cost. It took all of you time and planning to get to church this morning. You had to walk here, drive here, catch a bus, or whatever. I had to drive here as well. Okay? whenever I need to look after someone, I need to phone you. I need to say, when will it suit you? Can we go and have a coffee? Can we talk together? Can we pray together? It's going to cost me something. There's the cost involved to say, I'm going to leave my comfort chair there with my zebra skin in my safe place, and I'm going to go with you. I'm going to spend time with you. But God will reward us. God will reward us. We just need to make that decision. So I really trust that this is not rocket science. It's something where we can say, Lord, give me the heart of a shepherd. Lord, I need to grow in this, that I can have even spiritual discernment to see when someone is hurting. Because we're not always honest. We don't walk around with boards or labels that say, I'm in need of prayer, my heart is broken, I'm offended, or something like that. Maybe we're going to pray for some of you this morning. Maybe your heart isn't at a good place. And I'm saying it with love. Maybe you are hurt or offended or something happened in your life. And then we need restoration. Because that sick sheep, the one that walked away there in the hills, okay, is usually not at such a good place to look after the others. They will have to go and find him. Church, I believe, I see in Scripture, that in our natural ability, I said to you early on, I was born a sinner. I was with the rest of humanity on my way to hell. That's what Scripture says. Until I met Jesus, until my life changed, until, as Ezekiel prophesied, God gave me a new heart. He took the heart of stone away. He gave me a new heart. A heart with so much bigger capacity to love and to care. Okay? The more we get changed, the more that we see the love and the grace of God in our lives, the more that you look through that window and you see the image of Christ. Someone who says, it's 9 o'clock at night, but I'll do it. You are crying, you are broken, I'll come. I'll sit with you. Sometimes these things take a lot from us, but it's worth it. I'll read you a scripture just now. God comes and he transforms our lives. We grow and we grow. People will be able to click on us, in a sense, look through that window to see Jesus Christ on the inside. Then they will know there's love. I've seen many times that people don't always just come to the church or phone a pastor or something when something, you know, on a normal day. But then when life happens and stuff goes wrong, it's so important that someone out there will know you, Marco, that they will know they can phone you, that you will be able to care, that you will be able to not just say, I don't have time, I'm not interested, please phone someone else. You know, I had a few weird things the last while, where people really were in need of counseling, and then a certain church will just say, but you can come after December holidays in 2.5 months' time and we'll look after you. Now, if you are severely sick and you need to go to the doctor, and the doctor says to you, you can come in 2 months' time, you will never ever go back to that doctor. You will rather find a new GP, okay? Because if you are sick, you are sick. You need help. Sometimes we just cannot tell people, wait 6 months or wait 2 months, and then, we will see what we can do. If there's a need, we have to look at it. So God transforms our hearts. The more we get transformed, the more the world can see the love. The more we can see the love in each other's hearts. Okay? Yeah, in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you should love one another, just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I just want to read the Amplified Bible as well. From the Amplified Bible, it says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Let us just read verse 35. It says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for each other. That we should have a love for each other. We don't just normally love each other, okay? We don't just love each other. We can see love is very, very absent. Well, I don't have the exact percentage, but a big part of the world is at war today, in some type of a war. Love is very absent. We don't just love one another, but when we come to Christ, we receive a new ability to be able to love and to care. And then it says here, an unselfish concern for each other. Are you okay? How are you doing? We don't just have to pastor someone. You know, you don't just talk to your children when there's a big problem. We should talk to them all the time. We don't just look after someone when there's a red light going, issue, problem. We care for the flock all the time. It's so important that we will have that heart. I'm ending off 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Paul sows, Apollos waters. Everyone does his or her little part in terms of caring for the flock. Here, Paul says, nothing that you will ever do is useless. God sees our hearts. You don't have to have all the perfect tools and all the perfect theology or something like that to care for someone, to look after someone. You know, church, sometimes just a phone call, just a how are you doing, a hug, just a phone call on your birthday or something, you know, will mean a lot to a lot of us. It will bless your heart. So when we talk about this aspect of love, just to bring it all together this morning, and we say about where is the love? If the church doesn't show love to the world, an unconditional, unselfish love like Jesus Christ, who crucified Jesus? Who was in control? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Was it the soldiers? No. They didn't take his life from him. He gave his life. Okay. And that is the ultimate unselfish heart of a shepherd that says, I will care. And that is the thing that you can remember. Sometimes we are under pressure. Sometimes we are rushed or frustrated. Someone clicks and look through that window of your heart. What do they see? My prayer, my heart is that we will just grow and be able to see 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, that people will be able to see this love that bears all things and cares for all things. Okay? It's with a huge price. We spoke about love is to go and all those things. If we bring the harvest in and we don't care for them, what are we? Then we are hirelings. We've got a men's camp, and I mean, part of the heart is to preach the gospel and share the good news and to trust God for the harvest to come in. Scripture says the harvest is ready. And when the harvest comes in, we don't dare say to the harvest, "Harvest, you just stand there and wait there. We are very busy." We should care for them. Have that heart of a shepherd. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning, Lord, for your work on the cross, Lord. And yes, Father, what you did on the cross, Lord, we should preach about the cross every moment, every Sunday, Lord. And yes, Lord, just say thank you, Lord, for the gospel and the good news, Lord. And we want to say with Paul this morning that we are eager to preach the gospel, eager to preach the good news, because it's the power of God unto salvation, Lord. It's the power, yes, Lord God, that brings people into the kingdom, into your kingdom, that changes lives. And Father, that is why Paul isn't ashamed, because he knows how his own life has changed. And Father, I thank you for this beautiful church, Lord, and the saints here, the people, Lord, where you are at work, Lord God, where we can see how you are transforming people from one degree of glory to another, how we are making disciples and raising leaders, Lord God. Oh Lord, I pray that part of the foundation of our church will be the Father's heart, will be the shepherd's heart that care for the flock, that cares for the world, that cares for each other, not just those who are friends or those that we have relationship with, but for any sheep in need, Lord. And Father, when we see someone drifting away, maybe that sheep got hurt, that we will go after that one. From a place of love, not from judgment or anything like that, Lord, but from a place of love. Oh Lord, I pray that our lives will be like that windows, like the word icon. That people will be able to look into our hearts, the way we talk, the way we drive, the way we react or speak to our children and our wives, what we share in church, that they will be able to see the love of Christ, the good shepherd, the true shepherd. Oh Lord, come and change us, that we will be just, yeah, Lord, that we will just be reflecting more and more of your image. That people don't have to guess if we are Christians or believers. That we will be followers of the way. That the world can see the love in our actions, in our hearts, and in our stories and our testimonies. I pray it in Jesus' name. I just want to ask, as we are here and all eyes are closed this morning, the most important thing, the most important thing when we talk about love, that there will always be an opportunity. If you are here this morning and you are listening to this transformation, and I'm talking about salvation and a new life in Christ and taking an old heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh, if it doesn't register at your heart at this stage, if it's maybe foreign to you, I want to say to you, I want to say with all the possible love that I have, that just a bit more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his life. The Romans, or no one took it from him, he gave his life. There was a transaction happening there. John 3:16, that no one will perish, because the Father loves all of us so much that everyone, the Father's heart is that everyone will come to the knowledge of the truth. That we will be able to hear the good news, the gospel message. So this morning, when I talk about love, the most important step from my side is to say, I don't know all of you, but if you are here, and maybe you are here because you are looking for Jesus Christ, or maybe you have heard about him, or you have a Bible, but you don't hear his voice, and you don't have a living relationship with him, I want to tell you, there's an opportunity this morning. I would love to pray with you. And I'm just asking all eyes to be closed, just for the fact that everyone can just listen to their own voice, or maybe just focus on yourself here this morning. Is there anyone here in this house this morning, and you came to church and you are hungry for Jesus, and you want to say and take that, maybe your heart is beating fast now. Maybe you think like, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Maybe what about my future? What about my old life? The Holy Spirit will convict you. I don't have to do anything, because the gospel of Jesus is powerful. I don't have to scream or shout or anything. But if you are here this morning and you just know that you know that you know that it's time for you to come to Christ, while all eyes are closed, I just want you to raise your hand that I can see if there's anyone here. I would love to pray with you. It's not about the church here this morning. It's just about between you and the Lord Jesus. Anyone here this morning and you just feel you want to say yes to Jesus? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. If you are here, and maybe you just feel you've been really far away from the shepherd, maybe you feel just convicted that you were one of the sheep that just walked into the hills and in a sense just turned your back a bit on Christ, I would love to pray with you this morning. If you've got that need, I would love to pray with you. Because God the Father gave us this beautiful story about the prodigal son. And he says, my son, if you want to come back, just come back. I'll clap my hands, I'll run to meet you, because I'll rejoice when you come back to the Father. If you are here this morning and you raised your hand and you just feel that you want to take that bold step, and maybe today is the day that you want to say, Lord Jesus, I just want to give everything to you. I want to invite you to come and stand with me. I want to invite you. Maybe you feel like dying right now, but I just want to invite you, come and stand with me. Come and stand here. Take that bold step. Thank you so much. That lady at the back, do you want to come? I just want to ask one or two of the facilitators to come and stand here. Thank you for standing here. We're going to pray with you just now. Then church, secondly, I just felt, you know, this beautiful thing. I just want to, maybe you are here this morning and you just feel or you know that even if you look through the window to your own heart, there's just waves and storms and turmoil. And I've got news for you. Sometimes those storms are from God. Sometimes God allows those storms, okay, in our lives. I'm not going to pray to God this morning that He will just take away those storms. But the most important thing is Jesus in your boat. Maybe you've gone through a rough patch and a difficult time or season, and you just feel that you cannot anymore. I've been there. I felt there was times that I just felt I cannot go on anymore. If you are here this morning and you're looking through your own window this morning, you just see waves and hard times and difficult times, we are the church. We want to love and care and pray with you this morning. So if you are here this morning and you feel life is just upside down, don't you want to come and stand at my left? We want to pray for you. Because to send you home and to say, take care of yourself and I hope you're going to be okay, that's not love. That's not what we stand for. Okay? So if you are here this morning, I believe there will be coffee and tea, and I want to invite you for a time of fellowship. Please talk to one another, but we need to pray for you, with you. That's the heart of the church, okay? So while the other people are going to leave now and maybe have some coffee or tea, have a wonderful Sunday. We hope and trust and look forward to see you next Sunday, same time, same place. But if you know you need prayer, don't just walk away. God changes lives. We can testify about it. If you feel your life is upside down, please come and stand here. We would love to pray with you. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. Be blessed. And I'm looking forward to see you guys again. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.